Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We're continuing our time in Draw the Circle, and each of these weeks, the 5 weeks of Draw the Circle, this is our second week, each week we're focusing in on a passage from the book of Joshua and how this will pump us up for our own prayer life, give us some inspiration. Today, Joshua chapter 6 and the Battle of Jericho. Dear friends, Joshua faced a wall. Of course, the wall that I'm talking about is the wall of Jericho, and what an absolute obstacle this was for Joshua and the Israelites. Why do I say that? During the time of Joshua and the movement of the Israelites into the Promised Land, some cities had gates as protection against invaders. A few cities had maybe a wall. Maybe a few cities had two walls around their city as protection. But what we know from archaeological evidence and from what the Bible tells us, there were really only one or two cities that were completely fortified all the way around. One of those cities was Jericho. You see, Jericho was the gateway to the Promised Land. It was the first city after the Jordan River. If Joshua and the Israelites take the city of Jericho, it opens up the rest of the land. It falls into their laps. But the opposite is true. If they don't overcome those high obstacle walls of Jericho, they're left wandering year after year, as they undoubtedly knew how that went. My friends, maybe you can relate to Joshua this morning. What I mean by that is this. Metaphorically speaking, maybe you are facing a wall yourself. It's high. It's steep. It's mighty. Thinking of some of our youth in our congregation who are starting with online schooling and a computer. Now, for the first 6 hours, it goes pretty smooth, but then the seventh hour, you hit that wall, and your eyes are getting blurry. It's terrible. It looks like the teacher's becoming a Mario or some cartoon character. Or maybe the wall that you're hitting is a health diagnosis, or maybe two health diagnoses, or maybe a third challenge into your life, unplanned this past week, or maybe the challenge that you're facing is economic hardship. Now here, I'm going to take 5 seconds for pause. Before I move on, I want you to think about the wall that you're currently facing or a wall that you potentially could be facing in the days or weeks ahead. Thanks for thinking about that. Now, from my experience, people go about two strategies in overcoming the walls for their life. When we face walls, the first thing that oftentimes people do is to blow out of proportion the size of the wall and the difficulty that they're facing. And they can almost become fatalistic, a doomsayer, very negative. Now, what's interesting about the walls of Jericho for Joshua was that this was not the first time that Joshua saw those walls. See, he'd actually seen them 40 years before when he was sent as a spy under Moses' leadership. This is found in Numbers chapter 13. Moses sent out 12 spies, one from each of the tribes of Israel, including two spies named, of course, Joshua, but also Caleb. Now, many of those spies saw the walls of Jericho, again, it's found in Numbers chapter 13, and they came back with what's described as a bad report. Now, in the Hebrew, that word bad can also be described as a sensational report. They came back and really gave a sensational report about how bad it was in Jericho. Something like this. Boy, the people living in Jericho, they're giants and their muscles are absolutely huge. We would just be grasshoppers compared to them. And they said such things as this: the walls are so high, they're 100 feet high, Moses, when they were really probably 15 or 20 feet high. There's no way we could overcome it. If we did, the rocks would come down and they'd crush us. Now, when we face our walls, don't we do the same thing sometimes? We say things like this: if I ever even try to overcome it, nothing good is going to come. Or we say something like this: if I ever do try to do something, it's only going to get worse. Nothing good is going to happen in the future. And as I sit back and see how people are looking out there today with a whole bunch of things, there are quite a few people that are doomsayers about what could happen in the future. Maybe that describes you. A little pessimistic about what could happen in the future with the walls that you're facing. Well, on the other hand, there's another way that you could go with the walls that you're facing. You could actually go to work very quickly and come up with a strategy to overcome the wall, a plan of attack, so to speak. Now, think about this. Joshua had 40 years to plan for the taking of the city of Jericho. Now, remember, in Numbers chapter 13, he was about 40 years old. That's about my age, 42. 40 years passes, and now Joshua, the amazing thing is, when Joshua takes the city of Jericho, he's nearing somewhere around the age of 85 years old. That's incredible. He's had a lot of time to prepare for this and come together with some sort of strategic plan to attack. Maybe having catapults to go and to bend down and launch rocks so that the walls are knocked down. Or maybe hiring another army from another nation to join in the attack. Or maybe to lay siege on this city and starve the people out. But you know what? Maybe you're one of those people. Don't we do the same thing with the walls that we face? Don't we try to come up with our own strategy, our own plan, a plan of attack, how we can figure it out? My friends, as Joshua faced the walls of Jericho, he didn't do either one of those two strategies. He didn't give in to the fear and the doomsaying prediction. He also didn't rely on his own plan of attack and his strategy. So how did the walls come a-tumbling down? How's it possible? Well, here's the key takeaway. Joshua knew his place, and he knew God's place. Joshua didn't become fatalistic and think that he couldn't take it, and he didn't come up with a great plan of attack. Actually, God gives the plan. What Joshua does is he understands his place. You know, right before the Battle of Jericho, we didn't read it today, but I want to bring it up to you. One of the strangest parts of the Bible occurs. One of the strangest events happens in the Bible in Joshua chapter 5. Joshua meets a mysterious figure called the commander of the Lord. Who is this person? Where does he come from? The conversation is even strange. You see, as the conversation starts, Joshua acts like he's the general, and this commander of the Lord's army is his lieutenant. And he says something like this: are you on our side, or are you on our enemy's side? And he gets up into the face of the commander of the Lord's army. But at the end of the conversation, the exact opposite happens. Joshua realizes he's the lieutenant, and the commander of the Lord's army is the general and in charge. Because Joshua kneels down on the ground with deference, and Joshua takes the sandals off his feet. Who is this person? Is it an angel? No, because never in the Bible do you worship an angel. Is it an apparition? A ghost? No, because he's got a drawn sword. You can see it. Joshua sees it. It's none other than the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the general. Joshua is the lieutenant. Joshua faces his great wall before ever facing the wall by understanding his position and understanding the position of Jesus in his life. My friends, how powerful that is for you. As you face your wall, to understand your position and God's position in your life. That's what prayer can do for you. You know, consider this. If the distance from the earth to the sun, which is, we think, somewhere around 92 million miles, was represented with just a sheet of paper, think about that. And then if you considered the distance between the earth and the next star closest to the earth, that would be equivalent to 70 feet of those stacked papers. Then consider this. Consider the galaxy that we live in, which is pretty big. The galaxy that we live in would be about 310 feet of those stacked papers. Remember, each stacked paper is 92 million miles. Then consider this. Broaden it out to the universe. Our galaxy is just a speck of dust in the universe. And the book of Hebrews says this about Jesus Christ. It says that he holds it, the universe, in his hand with the power of his word. He holds the universe with his pinky. Would this be the kind of person that you'd say something like this to? Jesus, I'm going to go forward with my plan. Will you just pick up the pieces after me? Will you be my assistant? That's pretty ridiculous. Or would you say something like this? Hey, Jesus, I'm going to go forward in life. Would you be my lieutenant and just hang out over here in the back? No way. You don't do that to someone who has the entire universe in his pinky. You know, my friends, prayer allows us to take the right position. We take the position as lieutenant. Jesus becomes the general. Prayer is nothing more than an encounter, like Joshua chapter 5, where we get to meet Jesus face to face. And prayer develops kind of like that conversation in Joshua chapter 5. When we start out our prayers, we sometimes start them out kind of like we're the general giving the lieutenant orders. We list things. We list the problems that are going on. We list the concerns in our life. We might even list the names of people. We draw all sorts of circles. This is good to do. This is the focus of draw the circle. God loves to hear our prayers, and he listens to every single one in Jesus' name. But an amazing thing happens in our prayer life. As it deepens and as it grows, all of a sudden the conversation changes. We understand that we're the lieutenant and that Jesus is our general. And we start to say things like this, "Thy kingdom come." In other words, Jesus, go forward with your plan, and I want to follow what you want in my life. And we say such things as this, "Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." In other words, Jesus, you move forward, and I'll come back and I'll work behind you. Your kingdom is what it's all about. And when you take that position, now think about the wall that you have. And we don't go fatalistic towards that wall and think we'll never overcome it. And we don't go in the opposite direction, just make up our own strategies and our own plans. No, we take the position of lieutenant and let Jesus lead us into that wall as Joshua did. Prayer is powerful. You know, there's a story, actually, of a king that realized this. The king of Northumbria, an ancient kingdom, I think in medieval England, in the southern eastern part of Scotland. This king was not a Christian, and he wanted to move over into Wales and engage the Welsh in a battle. Before the battle, the two armies set up sides, and they took a look at each other. And the king of Northumbria saw a group of people over on the side, on the Welsh side, who didn't have any weapons. He turned to one of his assistants and said this, "Why do those people over on the side, why don't they have any weapons?" The Welsh were Christians, you see. And the assistant said to the king, he said, "Those people aren't for the battle. All they're doing is praying for success for their side." You know what the king of Northumbria did? Again, not a Christian. He gave the instructions, according to history, he gave the instructions to his men to attack the monks first, the praying monks. Even that king understood the power of prayer. As we face our walls, let us move forward, understanding our position, our place. That way, the walls can be overcome. Jesus is our general. He's with you in the waters of baptism. His name was given to you in his body and blood. His body and blood was given to you. He's with you. Let him lead you into those walls. Amen.